London Calling. David here. Out of left field, this one. London telegraphic addresses. Huh? You might well, huh? Telegraphic addresses are history now. History that's largely forgotten. But if you've got a taste for the quirky, the quixotic, the London quirky, they're more than a little fun. And they're instructive. They tell us a good bit about our town back then, and, as it turns out, about our town today. There's a lot about long-forgotten London telegraphic addresses that's awfully familiar. And it's not just London of yore that telegraphic addresses shed light on. They also shine a light on our fellow Londoners back then, the people whose turn it was before us. And sure enough, we see ourselves, our behavior, in them. Now, this might be self-indulgent, but I'm going to chart how I got here, how I got to London telegraphic addresses, doing a podcast about them. Like Hansel, I'm going to follow the breadcrumbs in the moonlight through the enchanted forest better known as London. The jumping-off point was going on Karen's Inside Covent Garden virtual tour a few nights ago. One of the important stops on her route is Maiden Lane, which runs parallel to the Strand, one block north of it. Historical lexical aside here, are most of you aware that the word block, in that sense, is an Americanism? The Oxford English Dictionary, pursing its lips here, stiffly defines it as the quadrangular mass of buildings included between four streets. And for the record, sure enough, the earliest known use of the word block in that sense comes out of Philadelphia in the year 1796. Anyway, yes, Maiden Lane is one block north of the Strand, halfway up to the Covent Garden Piazza. And it's not just one stop on Karen's Inside Covent Garden tour. It's two. Both of them great fun. The big hitter of the two stops is Rule's Restaurant, London's oldest restaurant. Somehow, it was a miracle then, and it is still a miracle today, Karen talked Rule's into letting her bring her walkers inside. And not just barely over the threshold, 5 feet through the front door for a quick peek, and back out you go. They're in there for a good 30 minutes. And they've given Karen and her walkers full access. The run of the place. All three floors. It's a behind-closed-doors tour de force. No other groups, let alone the general public, are allowed in there. They're setting up for the day, and their classy old restaurant is anything but a public thoroughfare. Karen's walkers get to see parts of that restaurant that even their diners don't get to see. So yes, a tour de force. Of its kind, cracking open closed doors, it's probably the single most magnificent feather in that particular London Walk's cap. Anyway, that stroll along Maiden Lane to Rule's got this old London Walk's war horse pawing the ground. When Karen bade us farewell, I decided to poke around a bit more in Maiden Lane. Even though, yes, I guide it myself, know quite a bit about it. But Karen's tour, well, it was like blowing on a dying ember in a fireplace. The feeling you get from watching that glow brighten up, that's the best kind of burn, baby, burn. So I started panning. Yes, that was a metaphorical gear shift. I started panning, and sure enough, almost immediately, there's a speck of gold. And there was more where that one little speck came from. The speck of gold was that 120, 130 years ago, Maiden Lane was chock-a-block with theatrical agencies. Makes sense when you think about it. Right there, not a stone's throw away on the Strand and the Aldwych and Drury Lane and nearby on St. Martin's Lane and Charing Cross Road were a dozen or more theaters. They're still there. So Maiden Lane is just off stage, as it were. The perfect situation for a theatrical agency, a troupe of theatrical agencies, birds of a feather and all that. Then more specks of gold. The endless ads for chorus girls and other pantomime performers, etc. There weren't enough of them. They couldn't get enough of them. And suddenly there it was, staring me in the face. Theater was different in those days. In musicals and pantomimes, there were three different categories of performers. The principals, the singers, and the dancers. If you were a singer, you weren't a dancer, and vice versa. Today, you're both. Everybody has to be able to do everything. One consequence of that, the shows we see today have much smaller companies than their predecessors a century and more ago had. Now, having that come into focus was okay, but what I enjoyed more was when I got to the bottom line of those ads, telegraphic addresses. And what fun they are! Now, I suppose I was primed to have a soft spot for them because of a moment on my Hampstead walk. There's an old ghost sign on a shop up there. It's a survival, a relic from the past. And easy to miss, so I always make sure everybody's gaze gets zeroed in on it. The sign reads, Ham 9932. It is, of course, an old, old telephone number. And every time I see it, I can't help but think, something's been lost in our digital era. 07956381XXX. What does that tell you other than it's someone's cell phone number in the UK? It's bland, it's colorless, it's odorless, it's cold and unfeeling, robotic. But Ham 9932. Ham is, of course, short for Hampstead. You rang that number, you knew you were ringing someone in Hampstead. You wanted to ring Buckingham Palace, it was Vic, V-I-C, followed by four digits, Vic for Victoria. You wanted to ring someone in Bloomsbury, it was M-U-S, followed by four digits, M-U-S for British Museum. Ham 9932, Vic 1234, Muse 5678. They're like comfortable, much-loved old bedroom slippers, those telephone numbers. Whereas 07956381XXX. Well, have you read Kafka's The Castle? It's a book about alienation, about unresponsive bureaucracy. This beginning to sound familiar? It's a book about the frustration of trying to conduct business with non-transparent, seemingly arbitrary, controlling systems. You got it. Phone numbers as we know them are right out of Kafka's castle. Faceless, relentless, mindless, zombie-like. Their never-ending reproductive capacity, the perpetual motion machine from hell. They're unique, all right, but snowflakes, they're not. So yes, I'm a big fan of old telephone numbers. I'm charmed by them. I have a soft spot in my heart for them. It was on the cards then that I was going to welcome telegraphic addresses to that party. London's like that. You poke around in the woods and suddenly you hit a wonderful berry patch. Thanks to Karen's Inside Covent Garden virtual tour, I chanced on a berry patch of glorious telegraphic addresses. And here I am, a day or two later, fingers and shirt and mouth stained with goodness. Okay, we've come through the woods. I've brought you back to that berry patch I found. Let's have a look, have a sniff, have a taste. There's a lot of London flavor here. Arguably the most famous London telegraphic address is Everything London. It's the telegraphic address for Harrods. You can see they had a decision to make with that one. Perhaps the coldly logical, the obvious thing to do would have been to use their name as their telegraphic address, Harrods, London. That's what their neighbor Harvey Nichols did. The Harvey Nichols telegraphic address was, yes, Harvey's, London. The Times newspaper's telegraphic address was Times, London. Times, London. That's a Rock of Gibraltar of a telegraphic address. Harrods, London would have been of that order. But everything London is, I think, better. It says, our name is so well known, we don't need to say it. It says, we're not just a big shop in Knightsbridge. We're everything London. To my ear, and this is one of those matters that's, of course, open to debate, if Times London is a Rock of Gibraltar, everything London is Mount Everest. Or how about this one? Firms long gone, completely forgotten, but they sure swung for the fences with their telegraphic address. You have to admire them. The firm was the Allen Line Passenger Booking Office. Their telegraphic address was Everywhere London. Come to think of it, Everywhere London is a telegraphic address that'd be right at home here. It's a banner we'd be more than happy to run up the London Walks flagpole. And if you want one that resonates with charm, you can't do better than the telegraphic address of the legendary, the centuries-old Whitechapel Bell Foundry. Chimings, London. How perfect is that? Or a certain Charles Hall and Co. Their line was boots. They made boots. They didn't have the name recognition of the Times or Harvey Nichols, so when they grabbed the telegraphic address, Tenderfeet, London, well, they didn't put a foot wrong. Or Aldous Sun and Co. They were ventilating and sanitary engineers. You could reach them at, wait for it, Exhaust, London. And the Anglo-Swiss Condensed Milk Company for sure had somebody who got it about the power of words, of favorable associations. Their telegraphic address was Milkmaid, London. There was a nurses' agency that knew what it was doing when they begged Divine London. No nonsense, engine room, serious, workaday, hard-edged London. That was the world of shipping. London as a port. There wasn't a lot of fancy footwork there in the matter of telegraphic names. They just went for what it was, what they did. Towboat London. Towage London. Skiffs London. Telegraphic addresses that left nobody in any doubt about what they were all about. I suppose there may have been just a glint of glamour in the telegraphic address, Arrival London. It was the address of a steam and ship broker. But hey, Arrival London? That's 99 parts matter-of-fact, matter-of-hard fact, to one part glamour. What about Thomas Cook, you ask? Well, they were in Fleet Street, in newspaper land, teller of tales London, make-up stuff London, rather than down on the waterfront, in reality London. They were a travel agent, the world's first travel agent. They hit on a telegraphic address that said, we got a deal for you. Coupon London. My favorites, though, apart from Chimings London, were the telegraphic addresses on Maiden Lane. Maiden Lane, back where we started. The telegraphic addresses of those theatrical agencies. They're fun, but you sure can smell the grease paint. And what I like about them is they're unashamed about it. Footlights London, for example. Or Impresario London. Or Stagery London. Or Popular London. Or Stage Door London. Or Dramatique London. Or Theatricals London. They were a wig supplier. The Cinderella in the group was Cleaning London. They were a theatrical cleaning and dyer's outfit. But for one that you'd be sure to pick out of the chorus line, that you sure weren't going to forget, Stranglers London gets my vote. That was the Arthur Shirley's Plays Agency. Note to self, find out who Arthur Shirley was. Was he a long-forgotten playwright or an agent? But in the horse race in my head, it's the variety agents that make the running. In third place, Squeak London. In second place, Slick London. And the winner is Fidgety London. Coda time. I started this by saying these long-forgotten telegraphic addresses tell us a lot about our town back then, and about our fellow Londoners back then, and that we can see ourselves in them, what they were getting up to, how they comported themselves when they took their turn on the catwalk. Well, it's so familiar, isn't it? It's us. We can turn to Shakespeare here. As always, what's in a name? Romeo asks. Well, rather a lot. The single most powerful word in all of our lives is our name. Think about the instinctive reaction, how we jerk our heads about when our name is called, even, as happens from time to time, when it's not us being addressed, but a stranger in our general direction who also happens to have our name. And indeed, how important it is to have a name we like, are comfortable in. I found out years ago that my name, David, is an old Hebrew name, and it means the beloved. I liked hearing that. Somehow I've always felt that in some very real sense, the name I was given set me up very nicely. Or think of the trouble people go to come up with a good Instagram or Twitter or Facebook handle. No question about it, here at London Walks, we rejoice in the name London Walks. And as for getting the URL walks.com, well, in this game, that's as good as it gets. Being able to say our email address is london@walks.com, to paraphrase an expression that's well and truly current these days, we want it, we're glad to own it. And now I'm going to hit a button and send this cable, this telegraph, on its merry way. Consider it a late Christmas present, like a box of chocolates, London chocolates, one of them called Chimings London, another Milkmaid London, another Divine London, another Popular London, another Everywhere London. Enjoy. Good night, and good Londoning.